No, 24. 25 to 27. And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, expressed them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So one key thing that you must have seen is that in talking about the glory, which is what Luke eventually, sorry, John 7:39 now says, you talk about the glory of Christ, where he's glorified, you have to focus on the work of the Spirit. Because from the resurrection through the ascension is the work of the Spirit. Romans 8:11, the Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. Romans 6:4. So that's the work of the Spirit. In the resurrection, the glory, the doxa, is the work of the Spirit. So you must focus on that. So the theology of the apostles is the work of the Spirit. So no doubt he asked them to wait till they see the Spirit walk in ministry. They have the Spirit within, but they have to, John 20:22, receive the Spirit. Lomba no honuma. Receive the Spirit. Or receive from the Spirit, a better way to say it. There are a few things we said the other time. We said, yeah, Jesus had 12 apostles, all men. Very obvious, practically speaking, yet he had other people. He had Mary, who was also being trained as an apostle. He had the John 4 women, he had the John 21 women. They are not lost on theology. Knowing God. Christology, theology. In Romans 16, there was a woman apostle, Junior. A lot of translations, including the NIV, and laughably, are trying to justify as a woman. It doesn't make any kind of sense. Nothing historical in the scripture shows that such a person was a man. Mary and Martha, Mary was found among the apostles, Romans 16, all show women were never emasculated or muscled out of ministry. Like we said, Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 11 and 1 Corinthians 14, not to contradict each other. 1 Corinthians 14 was domesticated, 34 and 35. 1 Corinthians 11 is ministry. Galatians 3:28 is new creation. 1 Timothy 2:12 is domesticated. Do not take arms over your husband. Again, an issue being solved in the community. Same as 1 Corinthians 11. Cover your head to show domestic and also public affirmation of your husband. If you're not married, it doesn't concern you. But if you are not married at the same time, you must show there's a distinction between you and angels. Very simple. Obey culture as you do new creation. So, Paul's theology, as we've said, is woven around the truth of the Spirit. Don't forget, when Pilate asked Jesus, what is the truth? Jesus said, it is me coming in the kingdom, in the power, and in the glory. John 18, verse 37. He said, I'm not of this world, he says. John 18, yep, I'm not of this world. John 18, 37. My kingdom is not of this world, better still, yes, not from this world, but it is for this world. I bear witness into the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. So, Jesus speaks about his kingdom, and he speaks about the glory afterwards. That's the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 1:17, grace and truth came by Jesus. John 14:6, that's the truth. The Spirit of truth, John 14:17. So his kingdom refers, or the truth refers to the kingdom of God found in Christ, which is in his resurrection. Again, don't forget that. Satan, therefore, will use the cross, and God will also use the cross. God will use death. He will use Satan's cross to defeat death and Satan. So, you will find Jesus answering questions on the heart of men. God, in the death of Jesus, justifies himself. He's innocent. And anyone who believes in the death of Jesus and his resurrection is equally justified. So Jesus, before he died, taught the walk of the Spirit. The Spirit will wash, John 13. The Spirit will dwell in you, John 14. The Spirit will cause you to love, John 15. You'll be in the vine, you'll be a branch. The Spirit will teach you and convince the world, John 16, from 7 down to 15. The Spirit is the glory, John 17. So the essence of all John wrote from John 13 through to 17 is the resurrection. So Paul, therefore, is rebuilding our knowledge of God around the Spirit. Paul will therefore teach about the new tabernacle, the new heart, the new man, the new Pentecost, the new Passover. We saw the new Passover. The new Passover is 1 Corinthians 5:7. Christ became a Passover. 1 Corinthians 11. Follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. Follow the Passover to do what he has done by his Spirit. Give your life to serve others. Paul will talk about new bodies, all by his Spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:44 to 51. How does it happen? It says the life-giving Spirit. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45 to 46. That's the second Adam, or the last Adam. It's all the work of the Spirit. We shall be changed. We're already changed, we're new creatures, but the body shall be changed. Where is he getting that from? Ezekiel 36:26 to 27. Ezekiel 36:25. You are washed by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:11. You are washed by the Spirit. Ezekiel 36:26. God gives you a new heart, a new spirit. And it is his Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17. You are the temple of that Spirit. Ezekiel 37. Son of man, can these dry bones live? He's saying those who have the Spirit, their physical body is dead. Lord, thou knowest. Cause the breath, the pneuma, ruach of six, to get into the bodies. So this is, the same Spirit will raise up your mortal bodies. I show you a mystery. We shall put on incorruptibility. The new man will put on a new body. 1 Corinthians 15:44 to 51. All is the work of the Spirit. Romans 8:19, the manifestation of the sons of God. That is Ezekiel 37. Dry bones shall live again. That's not dry business, amen. Or your dry relationship. Dry bones are dry bones. Alright. That's immortality brought to life. So Paul, therefore, will rework a new kingdom, or better still, a new temple. Jesus already gave us a lead in John 2:19. He says, destroy this naos, N-O-E, or N-A-O-I-S, or N-A-O-S. Naos. Two major words were used for temple. One of them is Aaron, H-E-I-R-O-N. You will find it used majorly in the book of Acts. Interestingly, in John 2:14, Jesus entered into the temple in John 2:14. The Aaron there will be into the building. That's the building. He found in the building. Then he now speaks about the Naos. The Naos there. Now, when you have the temple, you have the Naos, oftentimes called the holiest of all, but we don't have to get into all that intricacy. So he says, destroy this Naos, not the Eros, after 3 days I raise it again. You find the word Eros used in the book of Acts. Of course, the book of Acts can't use Naos because it's eyewitness. Acts 2:46, Acts 3:1, Acts 3:2, Acts 3:3, 8, and 10. That's Acts 3:1, 2, 3, 8, and 10. Acts 4:1, Acts 5:20, Acts 5:21, Acts 5:24, Acts 5:25, Acts 5:42, Acts 19:27, Acts 21:26, Acts 21:29 and 30, Acts 22:17, Acts 24:6, Acts 24:12, 18, and Acts 26:21. Everywhere you find temple, there is referring to the building. But in Acts 7:48, Stephen changes the narrative. Stephen says, God would not dwell in temples made with hands. He uses Naos. check the word now shortly. Then in Acts 17:24, Paul says the same thing. God who made the heavens cannot dwell in temples made with hands, nails. In 1 Corinthians 9:13, Paul uses the word aeon, using those who live by the temple, feet of the temple, basically the historical building. But as he steps into the epistles and he's talking about the believer, he uses naos, N-A-O-S, from the word naio, N-A-I-O. It means to dwell. Where God dwells is in the believer. That's what it means. Where God dwells in the believer. 1 Corinthians 3:16. You are the temple of God, for the Spirit dwells in you. 17. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. 2 Corinthians 6:16. The temple of God. Ephesians 2:21. Temple of God. 2 Corinthians 2:4. So he uses the word Nio for the believer. That is the new creation. Now that should not be lost on the Jew. Now if you are a Jew, if you hear temple, you must have sacrifice, gifts, worship, offerings. So that means if you rework the use of temple, you must rework the sacrifices. The temple must have gifts. The temple must have sacrifices. Now don't forget, if the old covenant is the old temple, which is man's response to God's promise in unbelief, man will seek to do what God said he would do. Man will give the sacrifice that God said he will offer. Man will put the water that God says he will be. Man will wash with what God said, rather than God washing. You will now rework the temple, so every gift and sacrifice of the temple will now come from who? God. That's the Pauline theology. So what you will see a priest offer or men offer to the temple of the old covenant, God will be the offerer. God will be the offerer. So the temple is the Spirit, God dwelling in himself. God doesn't dwell in things. God dwells in himself. So in the new creation, you have identification. So he reworks the theology. He reworks the entire theology by saying, God is the one giving. And on Mount Moriah, just like Calvary, Abraham took Isaac to see God giving. God gave himself as a lamb. So Paul will rework the entire theology, which means that Abraham didn't offer anything to God. If Abraham did anything at all, Abraham believed God was going to offer gifts. Hebrews 12:24. So we have a new temple. Call it the unused temple, right? The unfulfilled temple. Paul is going to build the theology of, because if you have the dark, the skia of the temple of Moses, tabernacle, Hebrews 8:5, take the light of Christ and shine it there. And where you have the priest, put Christ there. Where you have the works, put the Spirit. Then rework the entire narrative around the new creation theology. The new creation is the unused and renewed work of the Spirit. So at John's baptism, don't forget, when John says the Lamb of God, he brings in two narratives. Mount Moriah, Genesis 22, and then the entire Exodus experience in Leviticus. This is God offering a lamb. So, in the humanity of Jesus, let's ask a few questions. In the humanity of Jesus, did Jesus know who he was from the womb? Then he's not human. Jesus grew up, which means he grew to know the Torah. So he grew to know who he was. God laid aside that omniscient attribute. He didn't kill it. He will have used it, but he didn't. We see in Jesus a prototype of spiritual growth. Luke 2. Luke 2, he grew up. Luke 2 and 40. He grew and waxed strong in spirit, with wisdom and in the grace of God was upon him. That was not age 2. In verse 52, he increased in wisdom, stature. Wisdom is insight. And something was put in between it. He was in the temple. Notice something here. He was in the temple. And he's with the doctors of the law, hearing and asking questions in 46. They were astonished at his understanding answers, which means he was making inquiries. He is studying. Even Jesus grew by scripture. He grew in Bible study. He grew in Bible school, in case you hate that word. Jesus did not grow by prayers. In fact, we have no record of his prayer life. What we first have about him is his study culture. And don't forget, he's there 3 days. He's 12 years old. He hasn't gone for a summer youth camp where you're jumping, playing basketball, eating suya. And then, when people want to come and address you, they probably wear jeans and wear, you know, they say, yeah, you guy, you boy, you know, we have a fun. No! He's seated with the doctors of the law. That's why he knew accurately the things they were teaching. They are astonished at his answers. So, this is spiritual growth. His questions and answers. Jesus. Don't forget, this is Yahweh. So as he grew, he was able to put the vowels in the consonants. This is me. That's the Spirit working. That's man. God in humanity. God chose. This, when you read this, it numbs your mind. God is learning. Not as God, as man. This is the sufferings of Christ. Things he allowed. Which means if he didn't study it, he wouldn't know it. He's God. He's forever God. But in the four Gospels, he is man. God as man. Then he drops the key word, and Luke doesn't want us to lose it. In 49, he responds to the parents, I am about my Father's business. If you were Joseph, how would you think? Which means he grew to know the Father. How was this possible? He grew to know he was the sacrifice. That's why he said, for God so loved the world that he gave. John knew, this is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. These are things in the Old Testament. Jesus grew to know that. Imagine knowing that in a culture where men were offering sacrifices in the temple. That's why he said, 2 minutes at the temple locating, one of them said, I don't do this, I don't do that, I'm happy in my tithes, I'm this. The other one says, provide me a sacrifice. Elas komai. Be merciful unto me, King James says, would actually mean, show me a sacrifice on my behalf. Luke's Gospel 18. That should be 13. This is Christ reading the scriptures about himself. Luke 4:18. He finds the place where it's written. Luke makes us know the humanity of Christ as well. He's human. Hebrews 4:15. Tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin. Because to be a priest, he has to be a man. There is a mediator between God and man. Paul is emphatic. The man, Christ Jesus. So that you don't lose it. 1 Timothy 2 and 5 and 6. So, Jesus is reading. And we know Jesus read much of the Psalms. Why? The Psalm has a kingly background. A king who suffered. A king who is restored. A king who has to rise above his enemies. So, Psalm 22, one of the messianic psalms, all of them actually, Psalm 22 verse 9 gives you a picture of Jesus. Psalm 22 verse 9. For thou took me out of the womb, thou didst make me whole when I was upon my mother's breast. This is the Messiah. In other words, Mary must have played a big role in how Jesus grew. God chose Mary not just because she was a virgin, there are many virgins in Israel, but because she actually is godly, a virtuous woman. Mary in 51, Luke 2, kept all these sayings in her heart. She's always doing that. She tries to be in the flesh one day, goes to call Jesus, I've missed you, darling, can I see you? She forgot the word. He says, hey, who is my father and mother? I said, this guy's in church. Not in the family meeting. Maybe get offended. Check Acts 1, she's there. She's there at the cross. She's also numbed. Oh, is he going to die? She's there looking at him. And Jesus speaking parabolically. He turns to John. John is not his brother. He says, behold your mother. Woman, behold your son. Genesis 3:15-16. The seed of the woman who bruised the head of the serpent. That's how he talks. He's in the temple. He talks about his house, his body. Same thing at the cross. So in Psalm 40, where he, the writer of Hebrews, derives much instructions from, or much teaching from in Hebrews 10, but this is another thing said by Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 4, Psalm 40 verse 5, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts that are us towards. They cannot be reckoned up in order of thee, for I will declare and speak of them. They are more than can be numbered. Jesus grew to know this. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. And as you have hoped, that means I found this out from Genesis. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Then said I, this is Christ, lo, I come, in the volume of the book is written for me, of me. The word volume there means title. I am the title of this book. I am the sacrifice. I delight to do thy will, O God. Thy law is within my heart. Law, one single law, which is all the law is one word. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God. Believe in his faithfulness. Or be faithful with his faith. Believe in the scriptures. Then love your neighbor. Jesus fulfills all this way. His wonderful works. So, he says, this law is written in my heart. Jesus found this. As he reads the scriptures, what he did in Luke 24, 25 to 27, he was his experience. He found the things concerning himself. He knew it. And he walked in the light of it. Oh, so I am the temple. I am heaven on earth. I am that promise. So the writer of Hebrews said, it's written in law. Burnt offerings I didn't want. I come as the title of the book. In other words, I come as a reason for every sacrificial offering. I come to do thy will, O God. Paul will call that charis, freely given. He derives that from the temple. So even John the Baptist, he said, don't think that God is not able to raise children from these stones to Abraham. If you're a Jew, you can kill him. Stones. If you don't cry out, the stones will cry out. That's rejected. That's the Gentiles. John says that at the baptism of Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. The angel said, he will save his people from their sins. John the prophet says, the whole world. Jesus knew this. John says, don't baptize me. Don't let me baptize you. Baptize you. No, he says, let's fulfill all righteousness. Everything that was said should be done. All righteousness. How does it work? Hebrews 9. The writer of Hebrews tells us how it works. He says, it's by the Spirit. Hebrews 9. How much more, verse 14, shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve God? That's a big contradiction. How can he offer himself to God to purge our conscience? It means he's offered through God or by God to purge our conscience. In Moses' temple, you brought the offering. In God's temple, Christ Jesus, he gives the offering. And he gives the offering in our hearts, the new man. So, the temple is not where you need the gifts. The temple is full of its fullness of all we received, gift for gift. John 1:16. Colossians 2:10. You are completing him. In him the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. Colossians 2:9. So when you find this temple already has its sacrifice and its gifts. So everything in the temple, can we say, is God's Spirit at work? Huh? Okay. So God's Spirit will have God's gifts, right? Come on. Come on. God's gifts. God's gifts. God's sacrifice is also by His Spirit. So, now let's look at the imagery now. Moses' temple, a physical building, a skia, a tupos, a hypodegma. You have priests who live and die. And they keep coming in and out. They bring in sacrifices and gifts, you know, for the temple. God's temple, rework it. It is His temple because the gifts are there. The sacrifice is there. And He is there. How? By His pneuma. So we're going to find God's sacrifice, God's gift in what? In the resurrection. In His pneuma. Are you there? So when I read the sacrifices, sacrificial gift in Moses' temple, I see what is in the new creation now. What is in the new creation now? When you hear Lamb of God, Old Testament, it's a peace offering that will take away sin and brings reconciliation. God is the one offering it. He's not the one taking it. He makes peace with the warring man by dying for him. So if the temple is reworked, the temple is for two things. Congregating before Yahweh. The temple will be reworked by Paul, and Paul will call our gathering the temple, and individually, the temple. So where are the gifts? You learning something? Hope you are following this well. He will rework it. He will rework it because now the qualal of God, the congregation of God, is now a family. John 14:2 and 3. My father's oikia ameni meno or mone. I go to prepare a place for you. Inside. So where I am, there will be also. How is it going to work? I will pray the Father, He will give you another comforter that He may abide with you forever, even as with the truth and work and the receive. Because since in verse 17, it is known for you, knowing for those who shall be in you. So the work of verse 2 is going to be a reality by the Spirit. So our gathering is physical, but it's by the Spirit. And what does the Spirit do? John 14:12 and 13. The works I do, you will do. And greater than this, because I go to my Father. That's the Spirit dwelling in us. John 14:12 and 13. Egon, you will do things. Mark 16:17. You will speak with new tongues. Kainos glossolalia. John 16:8 down to 15. You convince people by preaching. How is it again? By the Spirit. Luke 21:15. You will have a wisdom. By the Spirit, no one can withstand. Luke 24:49. I send the promise of my Father upon you. You shall be clothed with power from on high. You will be my witnesses. Luke 24:48. Acts 1, 4 to 5, baptized with the Holy Ghost. Acts 1, 8, you be my witnesses. John 20:22, receive of the Spirit. As my Father has sent me. Where did the Father send? Into our hearts by the Spirit. Even so send I you. Even so send I you. So we have the Spirit's work. Right of Hebrews. Hebrews 2:4. God also bearing them witness both with signs, wonders, diverse miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost. He knows what he's saying. By saying gifts of the Holy Ghost, because he's still going to write about gifts in the temple. He uses the word merismos, which means to divide. M-E-R-I-S-M-O-S. Signs and wonders. The word sign is the word Simeon, an indicator. The word wonders is the word teras, something that makes you marvel. T-E-R-A-S. And the word merismos is from Hebrews 4:12. Divide into asunder. Where you have the word merizo, it knows exactly what he's writing. Merizo is the same word that you'll find Paul using in Romans 12:3. The measure of faith. The measure of God's faithfulness. What's God's faithfulness? The body of Christ. What's God's faithfulness? What he has done in Christ. He gives you the measure. Or a part in it. To preach and teach it. To make it in your service. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Parts. Everywhere you have the word merizo or meros, it's used for the function of ministry. Same thing as Ephesians 4:9. So what do we have now? We have Jesus is known by one, signs, wonders, and miracles. Then, gifts of the Holy Ghost, which are the ministry gifts. Gifts of the Holy Ghost. Gifts of the Holy Ghost. Merismos. Don't forget, the writer of Hebrews opens up Hebrews 3:6 and says, whose house we are. Hebrews 3:6. Whose house we are. Or are we? Both of them are fine. So we are his house. We have his gifts. Are you there? Already. Both corporately and individually. So if in Matthew 10, Jesus gave them power. If in Luke 10, he gave them, Luke 9:1, he gave them power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Luke 10:19. This will be reward in the new creation. He will give the same thing. I've read the temple you bring an offering. In this house, God has put the offering. He has put the gift. So Paul is going to work out a theology for us to learn from. Let's look at the word gifts in the statements of Jesus. In Matthew 5:23, he uses gift for what you take to the temple. Matthew 5:23. Same thing, Matthew 5:24. In Matthew 8:4, it's for a testimony in Moses' temple. Matthew 8:4. In Matthew 15 and verse 5. Matthew 15 and verse 5. Gift. Matthew 23 verse 18 and 19. Matthew 23 verse 18 and 19. On the altar, that's the temple. 19, that's the temple. But then, he walks up to a woman. We're going to look at this distinction shortly. He walks up to a woman at the well. If you knew the gift of God, if you knew the doria of God, it means without payment, not an entitlement, you'll have asked of him. If you knew the doria of God. So, let's follow through. The first word used for gift will be the word doron. Used typically for an offering or sacrifice. Doron. In Matthew 7:11, Jesus says, God will give his Spirit. Verse 7:11, Luke 11, 11. God will give his spirit. A rework. We give gifts to the altar in the temple. God gives his spirit in this new temple. Go on. You see the same word in Hebrews 5:1. The writer of Hebrews uses it for the gifts in the temple. Hebrews 5:1. Go on. Hebrews 8:3. They offer gifts. Go on. Hebrews 8:4. Go on. But what does he give? His own spirit. Hebrews 9:9. These were gifts imposed on them. Meats and drinks, diverse washings, till the time of reformation. Hebrews 11:4 is used for the gift of God enunciated through Abel. The Doron. This Doron is what we have read so far in Hebrews, sorry, Matthew 5:23 and 24, Matthew 8:4, Matthew 15:5, Matthew 23:18 and 19. Paul is going to say in Ephesians 2:8, not of works lest any man boast, it is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. Doron, it is the sacrifice of God. It's what God gave by himself. The second word we will find is the word Doria. Doria is in John 4:10. It's just basically the noun. John 4:10. If you knew the gift of God. It's used in the entire book of Acts for the Holy Ghost. In physical demonstration, in utterances, Acts 2:38, Acts 8:20, Acts 10:45, Acts 2:38, near Pentecost, Acts 8:20, Samaria, Acts 10:45, House of Cornelius, Acts 11:17, just a rehash of that. What does that tell you? That means that when they use the word gift of the Holy Ghost, they are trying to tell you what? There's now a new temple. There's now a new temple. And what is in this temple is spiritual. It's the Holy Ghost. So you find the same word, the Doria, used in Romans 5:15 and 17, all about the gift of Christ. Also, follow me please, in 2 Corinthians 9:15 about giving, Ephesians 3:7 and Hebrews 6:4, the heavenly gift. Romans 5:15, Romans 5:17, 2 Corinthians 9:15 and Ephesians 3:17. Doria is a noun. So you have Matthew 7:11, I mentioned that earlier. Now, a third word is the word charisma. The third word is charisma, which we're going to focus on. That's a Pauline phrase again. Romans 1:11. Some spiritual gifts, charisma of the Spirit. Romans 5:16. Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life. 1 Corinthians 1:7, you come behind me, no charisma. 1 Corinthians 7:7, used for choice. That's why it's key. 2 Corinthians 1:11 and 2 Corinthians 8:4. And 1 Timothy 4:14 and 2 Timothy 1:6. And then 1 Peter 4:10. Why would Peter use charisma? Don't ever forget, 1 Peter 2:5, we already built a spiritual house. So using charisma means this gift is in the temple. But this temple is the new temple, or the second temple, or call it the temple of the Spirit. Charisma is from the word charizomai, C-H-A-R-I-Z-O-M-A-I. It means to grant unto another without payment. To grant unto another without payment. So it's a reward of love or a fruit of love. We have the word charisma again in Romans 11:29. The gifts and callings of God. How would that remit repentance? Romans 12:6. We have in gifts differing according to the grace of God. 1 Corinthians 12:4. There are diversities of gifts. First Corinthians 12:9, gifts of healing. First Corinthians 12:28, gifts of healing. First Corinthians 12:30, gifts of healing. First Corinthians 12:31, convert earnestly the best gift. Everything he's saying here is worked around what? The temple. The new temple. That is where you find gifts. And who is the one giving? Not the man, not the priest, is God. So if God gave his spirit as a charismai, if God gave his spirit freely, everything in his spirit are gifts. You find the word charismai used often also, because we have to look at it as a verb. Acts 3:14, Romans 8:32, freely given. 1 Corinthians 2:12, freely given. Very vitally, 2 Corinthians 2:7 and 10, freely forgive. Galatians 3:18, God gave it to Abraham as a promise. Ephesians 4:32, God forgave you in Christ, you also need to forgive. Philippians 1:29 is not just given to us to believe, it's given to us to suffer for his name. Philippians 1:29. Philippians 2:9, God gave him a name above every name. Colossians 2:13, God's forgiveness. Colossians 3:13, you also forgive others. Philemon 22. All these phrases used for charismai relate with Christ's death and resurrection. This is the new temple. It doesn't come out of a building, it comes out of Christ's work. Christ's work builds a new temple. And so we have new gifts, gifts of the Spirit. James will use the word differently in James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift. Better still, every good giving. The Rima. Paul in Ephesians 4:8 will use the word from the word doses. We use the word doma. He gave gifts unto men. Everything is from the word deo. It's the same thing. He gave for it to stay. He gave for it to abide. Romans 5:16, just another phrase. But you have the word dorima as well. But that's not important now. So you have the word doma or domata, Ephesians 4:8. Matthew 7:11, Luke 11:13. A present, something that is given to stay with you. All these are a function of the temple. If you are reading Paul, you are reading Moses. You are reading the temple. All he does is by his spirit. He calls salvation gift of God. It's by his spirit. It's reworking our theology. He calls speaking in tongues Edoria or charisma. They're both. Why do you use charisma? Charisma actually means I granted it for you to become yours. Doria is used so that it could bring in the temple theology. The temple theology. There is now a second temple, or call it a new temple. That new temple is Christ and you, or you in Christ. The body of Christ. And so that temple doesn't need gifts. That temple came with gifts. Because it's the temple of the Spirit. The Spirit is the new creation. The Spirit is a new covenant. So Paul is not creating terminologies. He's reworking it in the temple. If Jesus calls us the holy care of God, and he says, whatever I do, you will do. I will do it through you. That is already the gift of the Spirit. I will do it through you. John 14:12-13. Whatever you do, I do it. That is God's doria, God's doron, God's charisma. And because the Spirit dwells in us, that's why it's a charisma. So you rework the gifts of the Spirit. So whatever we walk into, they call the demonstrations of the Spirit, are those things that were in the temple. In the temple, it was to feed the priests, to feed the people. It was to worship God, to serve God. So they thought. For the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestation, is for the profiting of all. 1 Corinthians 12:7. And so when that is going on, you are serving God. You are serving God. It's for ministry. So when Paul says, there are, Now follow. He already calls you the temple of God, 1 Corinthians 3:16. Temple of the Holy Ghost, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Then he says, watch this. Now, concerning these things of the temple. Correct? 1 Corinthians 12:1. Can we put down a paraphrase? Concerning these things of the temple. Because the temple is where the Spirit is. The pneumaticos. The things in this new temple. I wouldn't have you ignorant. That's why the next verse says, you were Gentiles carried away by dumb idols wherein you were led. That's a worship thought. A temple thought. He said, but no man can say that Jesus Christ, speaking by the Spirit of God, call it Jesus Christ, and no man can say that Jesus is loved by the Holy Ghost. Now, don't forget, 1 Corinthians 12:1 is, this is the temple, concerning the things of the Spirit, where? In the temple. I will have you ignorant. I give you to understand. No man speaking by the Spirit of God. Don't forget. Go into a temple thinking now. Call it Jesus of course. And no man can say that Jesus is Lord by the Holy Ghost. Verse 4. Now there are diversities of what? You are in the temple. Don't forget. In the temple. But the same Spirit. So the next statement makes sense. There are differences of what? Service. That's the priestly ministry. But the same Lord. There are diversities of operations. It's the same God that worketh all of. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. So, as soon as he talks about the believer, the Spirit, till verse 11, then he talks about the assembly. Because don't forget, the previous chapter is Passover. Are you following this? Have you forgotten that? Follow. So he's reading the Passover out, and he's saying the Passover is now in your conduct. Christ is your Passover, you are saved, yes, there's no judgment, God loves you, God has given his son to you. You now need to give to others. Do it by giving food. Then he comes back to the temple, you brought sacrifices, now God has given to you his sacrifice by his Spirit. It's time to serve others, edify the body of Christ with the temple sacrifice. Does it make sense now? Does it make sense? So he leaves the food, goes to spiritual realities. Now it's time for the utterance, revelation, and power gifts to be the gift in the temple. They're already there, don't bring it. You were baptized into the body, into the temple. You have found yourself there. You are at the temple. You are in the temple. Then he talks about the gathering. When you come together. That is Israel. When you come together, every one of you has. They came with food or something to give in the temple. They came to give. He says, every one of you already has. You following this? Paul is studying Moses, teaching the things of the Spirit. So, the new creation, the new temple, that's what he's reworking. He's reworking everything Jesus is doing through the believer as gifts in the temple of God. It's not a strange thinking. Yes, Peter just mentions it once. You have the manifold, Peter says. Manifold, he calls it. Grace of God. You have received a gift. 1 Peter 4:10. What do you think he's talking about? He says, you have all become a spiritual house to offer what? Sacrifices of the Spirit. Acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That is service, ministry. 1 Peter 2:5. And he tells you how. He says, utterances of God. The gifts of God. the gifts in the temple of God. You learning something here? So, Paul isn't recreating theology. Paul is discovering it. If God says He's going to walk through you, if He's going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, if He's going to pour out His Spirit upon you, that will be from His temple. Because heaven is now where? In the earth. Everything is happening in the resurrection. Since God gave His sacrifice, everything that will come to it will be called grace. That's why He used it interchangeably. Doron, Doria, Dorima, Toma, Charisma. All from one single word, didomi, to give. And charis, to give freely. Have temple images on your mind. We are that temple. It's not offered to us, it's now offered through us. So the priest doesn't go to the temple, the priest comes from the temple. The gift doesn't come to the temple, he comes from the temple. That's how God worked it. The new creation, don't forget, the new covenant leads to the new creation, and then we have a new kind of service. So it's also called Christians priests, or pastors priest, as it is. We're priests in Christ, no doubt. So Romans 12:3 again, it calls the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:4. All of that, just read that all through, and you see that they are all a function of the resurrection. Romans 12:6, 1 Corinthians 12:4, 11, 1 Corinthians 12:28 to 31. Every time you read the gifts of the Spirit, have some in your mind, or the gifts in the Spirit, change it to the gift in the resurrection. Or the gifts of the resurrection. Or can we say the gifts of the new covenant? Right? What about the gifts of the new temple? Are we still correct? Are we correct? What about the gifts in the new creation? Are we still correct? Yes, we are. So quickly, let me just add this. In Romans 12, this is just check this out on yourself. In Romans 12, why then do we have distinctions? Why is there a distinction? I hope to approach this shortly, before this month runs out, or early next September. Why do we have distinctions? Why does Romans 12 differ from 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4? Let me give you a quick study. Romans 12 is dealing with attitude. Do not exalt yourself above usual. Romans 12:3. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable worship. Not your physical body there, your person, soma. Romans 12:1. That's why he says, teach properly, rule properly, prophesy properly. Attitude. But 1 Corinthians 12, rather, he deals with the distinctions. He breaks down the prophecy. He breaks down the teaching. He breaks down the ruling into the details. In Ephesians 4, he's talking about the walk in the body of Christ. I'm going to take it all one by one. But he talks about, this is the walk of the Spirit. So, one gift, one sacrifice, different functions of the singular sacrifice of God in Christ are the things we call the gifts in the Spirit or the ministry gifts. Again, we walk it around the temple. The temple is now you and I, and also our corporate gathering. So the temple is found one in individuals, is found in the collective body of believers. So where did Paul get his gifts from? That he's so loud about. He got it from the new temple. The new creation. The new Jerusalem. Heaven on earth. We're not doing it to God. God is doing it in us, through the world. The Passover is for us, now for us to be His Passover to the world. He gave us the gift of His Son. We are now the gifts. We now have the gifts. The Spirit in us. Gives the gifts, has the gifts. Just all that, just walks it around, walking around that. So rebuild it around the temple, and you will understand Paul's ministry gift and Paul's charisman Doron. Those words Doron, Doria, and Dorima, Doma, charisma, they are found in the temple language. What is given to the temple? Now, it's what is given from the temple that is found in the temple. I'll give you another 10 minutes.